That seems to be a funny logic. I don't have such a nice brain. In his case, I could see this very clearly. His mind was absolutely clear and free, blissful, peaceful. But he did not have to bother about the condition of the body. So that the body could still lie there, unable to get up and move around. And the mind looks at the body, it sees that in this condition the body is not capable of moving. It's just like your automobile. You are the boss. You are not bound by the automobile. But you get into it, turn the key, it doesn't start. Okay, take the key off and walk out. He'll walk, or he'll do something else, go to bed and sleep. It's not moving.
Maybe that's the only thing those theories can do, is sometimes I might feel bound by the automobile.
That's it.
It could set me free from feeling.
Correct, bound. Correct. Then up to that point they are very correct and beautiful. But then they seem to confuse the issue. By saying that if the person's mind is so powerful and so clear and so on, the body must be in a state of health according to their definition. I don't think it works that way.
Mm-hmm.
This was true. This, for instance, any other person in his physical condition might become miserable. Oh, I'm bedridden, I've got all sorts of nice work to do, my God. What will people think, this, that, etc., etc., etc. None of those things. He wasn't bothered at all. And I was telling her there yesterday, were you here? Meher Baba incident.
Yeah.
It so happened that during that period he had to receive a VIP guest. And he did that lying down. He would never have done otherwise. Even then he was, there is a passing momentary sort of regret. He is coming, I am not able to get up and prostrate to him and welcome him as I would otherwise have done, just for a moment. Then even that disappeared. It was perfectly all right. Lying down in bed, he said, Om Jai Bhagwan. So, another person in that condition would yield to depression, yield to sorrow, grief. That was not there in me. That's all you can say. A strong mind is able to is pass through that without being depressed. And he used to say that during that period his mind was more active. Because the body was, it was almost as though he had no body during that period. The body looked after itself. He was being bathed in the sponge bath and given a sponge bath and all his needs attended to in bed. And it was then, it was beautiful to watch him. He's lying down, a majestic figure. And he couldn't even sit up. Nice, big, large thighs. So he propped one knee up, put the other one there, and did all his work. It was fantastic, beautiful work in there.
I was wondering, perhaps they could maybe heal their body if they wanted to. Maybe they have that power, but maybe they choose not to.
It's too much speculation.
Maybe.
Too much speculation.
Does Swami Shivananda do lots of asanas when he was younger?
At one stage, yes. No, I mean, even then I wouldn't say lots. No. Did Swami Shivananda practice a lot of asanas? I don't think he did at any time. He was fond of a few asanas, which he did very well. And when he was between the ages of 30 and 40, yeah, or probably 50. Then slowly he had to reduce it.
So you do fewer and fewer asanas the older you get?
It's possible, yeah, eventually.
But pranayama he did.
Pranayama he did a lot, tremendous lot. He loved pranayama. And though the rules book says that you must sit in your Padmasana and Siddhasana and he was doing it in any asana. Anywhere in any posture, lying down, sitting down, doing anything, standing, walking.
Alternate breathing was the...
Alternate breathing, sometimes you hold, sometimes with holding, sometimes not even with that.
The book it says you did at least 4 hours every day.
Yeah, more. Whenever he had a few minutes of leisure, and he liked Bhastrika. The headstand he used to do, I believe, and the headstand was the only one he learned from a teacher or something, years ago, when he was in Malaya. The others probably he picked up here and there as time went on. He was not terribly keen on that.
But he had most of his disciples too.
Most of his disciples whom you know. You know, when people say, you know, everybody is saying so-and-so. To track it down, it amounts to everybody whom I know at the moment who is involved in this particular thing, that which means 3.5. Not everybody. Not most of his disciples. Even his initiated disciples, Swami disciples, over the years, they could number about 600 to 700. Of them, 5 or 6 people did asanas.
There's a movie of Swamiji doing asanas in India,
international.
Call the movie.
Yes, that's only some,
nice.
Huh?
It's very nice.
Some halasana and a little bit of shoulder stand and so on.
Great joy.
Yeah, right. He enjoyed it. Even that he enjoyed. Whatever he did, he enjoyed. And playing tennis on the wall. And in that, there is one bit where he shows. We were talking to him then. And he told us that he was very, very fond of gymnastics. Before he became a Swami, when he was a doctor in Malaya, and that he even used to do some fencing, the old type fencing with a stick. And he said, I can do it even now. Right, and he tied up his cloth, asked for a stick, and did that. And luckily for us, the photographer took a close up of his legs. By frightening. Nice, strong, muscular legs.
He had such a big stomach. Did he eat a lot?
What?
He had a big stomach. Mm. Did he eat a lot?
Did he eat a lot? No. I think it's more due to sedentary habits.
What?
Didn't have too much sedentary habits. Not much of movement, not much of physical movement. Because that ashram also was like this.
It didn't impair
on
him
at all. Up and down, up and down. No. Up and down, everything, the office was at this level, the kitchen was at another level, he was living at the lowest level, they had to go up sometimes to the highest level. This going up and down, that is all that is possible. And he got so tired, there was no free walking ground, no level ground to take a walk. When you grow old, you will understand it.
Neglect his own health in serving others?
In some ways, yes, in some ways, no. In some ways, yes. In this kind of thing, you know, there's not much of walking space, and then spent a lot of time sitting in the office and sitting in his room, sitting for satsang and so on. In another respects, where it was possible for him to look after his health, he looked after very well. very careful about his diet, very careful about the medical visit aspect of it. He had lots and lots of medicines.
Why is there this turn away from Hatha Yoga eventually? Like you say, Hatha Yoga.
I don't think he turned away from Hatha Yoga. Yes, Hatha Yoga turned away from him. And again, you are when you say Hatha Yoga, you are referring to the yoga asanas.
Yeah, right.
That's only a small part of Hatha Yoga. He did all the others.
Yeah.
Pranayama is one of the main items of Hatha Yoga that he practiced.
Isn't it a good idea to have a balance? Physical
yeah, right.
How old are you?
How old are you? How old are you? At your age, he was. And it's good that you mentioned that. Balance is not a sort of a fixed scale for everybody, right?
Mm.
And not even a fixed scale for you for all time.
Well, I understand that you can come to a point where you don't need to do a particular exercise anymore, or you change the exercise, or you may not do exercise
right.
anymore.
That's it. So one has to find the point of the centering point or the balance from moment to moment, from day to day. By being sensitive. That needle is terribly sensitive. That needle on top of the balance is terribly sensitive. So that you place something on one scale, the other scale jumps up or down immediately. And so, this balancing is necessary from moment to moment. And how do you do that? By being as sensitive as that fulcrum. If it is dusty, it may need a bit of cleaning. If it is if it sticks, it may need a bit of oiling. That is what is called meditation practice. Oil a little bit, it becomes a little more sensitive. And also, I think it's also important to see within ourselves. Am I giving too little or too much importance to one aspect of my personality, which is body? The body is good, it's very good, essential perhaps, as long as it lasts. Huh? But am I giving it too much of an importance?
Well, I was thinking originally of getting to the mind through the body. You know,
yeah, right, right. So that the mind needs to be here in order that I may get into the mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not merely to, you know, go on shampooing. So keep it there, and as long as it lasts, use it as a medium to get into the mind. But not, it's only an instrument, it's there. It's a vehicle.
Right.
When it is there, it is useful, and therefore its value is not for its own sake, but for the sake of what is in it. And the balance is that clear understanding. So you are not terribly elated when the doctor pronounces you healthy, or somebody says, oh, don't you look marvelous, young. You're not worried about that at all, because it's not, that is not your goal. You are not living for gaining this compliment from her that you always look young.
Yeah,
and when the body is sick, or when there is disease, as long as it doesn't worry your the mind, distract your mind, they may say, you're a yogi, why are you sick? Even that doesn't affect you, upset you. Because you are not living for that. You are not living for the body. The body is living for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if that proposition is clearly understood, then the needle is become sensitive. It knows exactly which way to turn.
Which way get your goals fastened
firmly? Right, right. In a manner of speaking, yes, right. I may not accept the goal, but at least the direction. Birthday is something important, not important. Yeah, children. Huh?
Anniversary, I guess.
Now, wait a moment. Isn't there some legal thing for the 18th birthday?
Yeah. Oh, you can try.
Voting night.
Yeah.
You're a responsible young woman.
Through all of your actions.
Oh, I see.
My parents.
They're not your guardians anymore from today. Hmm?
You're more responsible.
You're not a minor?
No.
I thought it had some prestigious thing to do.
Did you do anything bad yesterday while you could still get away with it?
No, I suppose if she had done something, somebody else is responsible. What is it called? Some legal terminology.
Page of consent.
Unlawful custody, sir.
Om Shanti Shanti.